to the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are our second hour presenting sponsor. John and his firm, they are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual. Look, nobody wants to get in an accident. Could be car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant. You might drive an 18-wheeler. But you do need representation, and that's what the Daspit Law Firm is going to do for you. They'll cover you. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And always a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And I want to remind you about Liberty Kitchen, my good friend Carl Eves. River Oaks, Memorial City, The Heights. He has designed all their locations. Gulf Coast influence, raw bar and oysters, hot smoked Seattle salmon. People love the mac and cheese. And that's one of my favorites there as well. They have the signature bacon jam. Great for brunch, business meetings, or just plain hanging out to watch maybe the Houston Dynamo or the Premier League. Great mixed cocktails, wine, and beer. We will see you at the Liberty Kitchen. We welcome you back. Ronaldo Pena here. I want to talk about this Venezuelan under-20 team that did so well to play against England and Rafael Dudamel and what type of coach he is and what was the plan for this very, very, very talented group of young players.
Pues hablarnos un poco sobre el equipo que fue al Mundial Sub-20 de Venezuela, ese gran grupo de jugadores jóvenes y el tipo de entrenador que era Rafael Dudamel.
Sí, la verdad que bueno, él es una persona que le gusta prepararse para los grandes retos y tiene un buen equipo que lo rodea con hambre de éxito. Y nosotros nos estuvimos preparando 2 años atrás para poder lograr lo que logramos y llegar hasta donde llegamos. Porque tengo una anécdota que en el sudamericano ya tenía siempre Venezuela no es el favorito. Y en el sudamericano pasó que ya nos tenían los pasajes para la primera semana, de como si ya nos hacían que nos iban a eliminar. Y pasamos. Entonces, luego le ganamos a Ecuador, que era la sede del sudamericano. La gente no creía en nosotros. Le ganamos a Ecuador, si mal no recuerdo, fue 4-0. Y fue un golpe duro sobre la mesa y la verdad que eso siempre lo recuerdo porque siempre, no creen mucho en Venezuela, en el talento que hay en Venezuela. En Venezuela hay mucho talento, solo que nos ha faltado mucho apoyo, pero bueno, poco a poco ahora hoy en día hay muchos jugadores en el extranjero y la verdad que eso es gracias al fruto que se viene trabajando y al apoyo que nos han dado los representantes que nos han sacado a jugar en otro continente. Y bueno, lo de Dudamel, el grupo que nosotros hicimos, fue fantástico. Por eso llegamos a la final del Mundial, que no fue nada fácil, porque nos tocaron selecciones muy difíciles y la verdad que nosotros también jugamos contra Estados Unidos, le ganamos también, que fue un buen rival, fue un rival muy aguerrido como nosotros, que jugaban, tenía muy buenos jugadores físicamente, tácticamente también estaba muy bien y la verdad que fue un Mundial fabuloso, fantástico. Sé que no lo vamos a olvidar ni mis compañeros, ni yo, ni el cuerpo técnico, porque fue algo que nunca se había visto en Venezuela. Entonces, pienso que hasta ahora es una de las mejores cosas que se ha logrado en el fútbol nacional de Venezuela.
Yeah, I can just say that we were a team that liked challenges. We were set for tough challenges. And I have a story for the Sudamericano, the tournament before the World Cup. We had only bought our tickets for the first week because nobody thought we were going to make it past that. And then we made it past that. And then we played Ecuador and we beat them for nothing. And that was just like a strike of authority that we did to show that we had talent, that we were some.
And this was a South American youth football championship where ultimately Venezuela would end up in third place.
Correct. And we show that, you know, the Venezuelan players have talent, and despite people not believing in us, we were able to succeed. And I think A lot of it has to do with the great work that has been doing lately with all the export of players that have gone overseas to play. And then about Dudamel, he's a fantastic coach. We didn't have an easy road to the final of that tournament, and we made it through. We played, for example, we played the United States, who were a tough opponent. They were just like us. They were challenging. Tactically, they were tough. But it was a great tournament that we did, and no one of us are ever going to forget that.
Yosef Martinez, by the way, we're talking to Ronaldo Peña here in studio. The Houston Dynamo scored that wonderful goal. I think we're going to see a lot of great soccer out of him here in Houston in the future. He is in studio here tonight, and we appreciate everybody listening in. And Hector Casteltort is doing the translating. What does Yosef Martinez mean to Venezuela as a country? Now, obviously, he's opening doors and shining a lot of light on the Venezuelan soccer player. How respected is he back home in Venezuela? And then take us a little bit more into Yosef.
¿Qué tan respetado es Yosef como persona en Venezuela? Porque lo que está haciendo es algo increíble. Está abriendo puertas y está demostrando que el jugador venezolano puede alcanzar cosas grandes. Háblanos un poco sobre de él. ¿Cómo lo respetan ahí en Venezuela?
Bueno, Yosef Martinez siempre desde pequeño ha sido brillante. No lo conozco desde pequeño, lo conozco desde que yo tenía 13, 14 años, que yo estaba en el Caracas, él también estaba en el Caracas. Ya él a los 16, 15 años ya jugaba en el equipo profesional, si no mal recuerdo. Y siempre ha sido un jugador distinto, siempre ha sido un jugador con esa personalidad que él tiene, única, que lo ha llevado a donde está ahora. Y en Venezuela él es un ídolo para todos los jóvenes, para mí también, porque lo que ha hecho no lo ha hecho cualquiera. Y me contenta mucho porque sé que él es una persona muy humilde, me contenta mucho lo que ha logrado y que ha dejado el nombre de nuestro país en lo más alto, rompiendo este récord. Y es como él lo ha dicho el otro día, que si ha sido otro jugador que de más marketing en otro país, esto se lo haría todos los días, estaría en todas partes. Y yo pienso que él también, como él lo logró y es venezolano, no se ha dado la misma publicidad, y pienso que se merece muchas cosas más de lo que hasta ahora le han dado, lo que se le ha brindado, porque lo que él ha hecho ha sido fantástico. Nadie lo ha logrado, por eso rompió el récord, y pienso que ahora mismo es el MVP de la liga.
Yeah, I mean, he has been brilliant since he was little. I met him through the youth systems. When he was 16, he signed with Caracas, with the team that I was at. And he has always been of a great personality. He's unique. Kids in Venezuela look up to him. I look up to him for what he has done in this league, the way he has broken records. And I'm really happy for him because he's a really humble person that works hard. And I'm really excited that he's leaving the Venezuela's name on high, that he's representing the country well. And unfortunately, if he was of another nationality, what he's doing would have more renown than, you know, what he's being renowned right now. And I'm really excited for what he's doing.
Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup. Is this really the game that will define the Dynamo season this year?
El partido de la Open Cup contra Filadelfia es lo que va a definir la temporada del Dynamo este año.
Sí, sin duda alguna, y la verdad que tenemos que ganar, sí o sí, como sea, jugando bien, jugando feo, como sea, tenemos que ganar esa copa, porque para mí en lo personal es muy importante y sé que para el equipo también, porque quedar campeón, hay muchos jugadores que no son de Houston, que son de otros países, la verdad que quedar campeón es algo fantástico. Y es lo mejor que hay, y ya que estamos en la final, tenemos que aprovechar esta oportunidad. La vida es así, como una montaña en sub y baja, y esta oportunidad es nuestra. Hemos venido trabajando bien, no se nos han dado los resultados, pero tenemos que aprovechar las oportunidades, porque cuando se presenta hay que aprovecharla, y este es nuestro momento. Y yo en lo personal quiero quedar campeón y quiero levantar esa copa.
No doubt. It's important. We need to win that game, regardless of whether we play well or bad. We need to win that game. For me, it's really important because that feeling of being a champion, it's unique. It's fantastic. And yes, we have had a season where with ups and downs, but we have been working hard to get to the point where we're at right now on the cup, and we're looking forward to lifting that trophy and helping this city be the champion.
Last one real quick, because we're up on a hard break, Hector. Just how important is it to him, maybe in 4 years, to be in a World Cup?
Rápidamente, ¿qué tan importante es para ti llegar a un Mundial? A lo mejor en 4 años.
Lo voy a lograr, lo vamos a lograr. Venezuela lo va a lograr. Va a ser una cosa de locos.
We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Venezuela is going to make it, and the whole crowd is going to go crazy with it.
Tell him thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate him being up here in studio here tonight to make the effort to come here. We wish you the best of luck in the game against Portland coming up this Saturday. Thank you, Ronaldo.
Muchas gracias por venir y te deseamos la mejor de las suertes. Apreciamos que te hayas tomado el tiempo para estar aquí.
No, muchas gracias y fue un placer conocerlo y espero estar pronto acá y con la final quedar campeones.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I hope to come back soon and that we can bring a trophy here.
There, let's do that. Let's do that. I like that idea. Dynamo in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, a wonderful talent. Ronaldo Peña, keep an eye on this man. He's 21 years of age from Venezuela. He is a great young talent. I had the opportunity to watch him in the Under-20 World Cup, and we're very excited he came in here tonight representing the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break here. Again, the place to be in Edo is Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires, covering leagues from around the world. Go down there, say hello to Jay, a great friend of mine. His wife is an amazing cook. They've got amazing Indian food there. KingsCourtHouston.com. And also a big thank you to Bud Light. All special edition Bud Light Texas packaging, brewed right here in Texas, which means it's brewed to go perfect with barbecue, like East Texas barbecue, or maybe even Central Texas barbecue. What about South Texas and West Texas barbecue? Basically, all barbecue. Enjoy responsibly. AB, Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. We'll take a break. We got more to come, including Dave Sarakin, the U.S. men's national team coach, ahead of the United States taking on Mexico tomorrow night.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Second hour, a moment here for presenting sponsor John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. How about that interview with Ronaldo Peña? That was a beauty. When players come in studio, it makes such a difference. And what a talented young man he is at 21 years of age. You may see him. You will see him with the full national team eventually. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, doesn't matter. Daspit Law Firm's going to have you covered. They're bilingual. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, our second hour presenting sponsor. So we truly appreciate all that they do for us and all they do for you, the soccer fan. Because, by the way, these sponsors, we hope you follow up with them because they are supporting your game in Houston. And you're supporting it by contributing to this show, by listening, by going to the podcast at podcastarena.com and iTunes, and by calling in and listening to the show. So a big thank you from me, Glenn Davis, to all of you and to all of our wonderful sponsors. All right, we're going to be joined now by U.S. men's national team coach Dave Sarakin. This is pretty remarkable here. This is on the eve of the United States-Mexico tomorrow night.
My pleasure, Glenn. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, likewise. All right, you've done an outstanding job with these young guys, and I've seen a lot of your quotes, and you and I had talked prior coming on the air here that it's just been a real joy to work with this group. So just talk about this group of young guys and how they've handled some incredible competition here in these friendlies.
No, that's true. I've had the good fortune to be leading this program since last November, and we had a series of games leading up through June when we did face France, and now coming into this kickoff series, very ambitious programming for U.S. soccer with the matches that we had the other day with Brazil, the one coming up tomorrow, and through October and November. And this group that I've been fortunate enough to be around, I've kind of continued to have a core of these young guys together now. And, you know, it just reminds you how great it is to have fresh faces, youthful energy. They have no real past that burdens them. They're looking now into the future, and they've been really a joy to work with. And we know that there's improvements to be made, but these experiences and games have been, and hopefully will be, just massive as we continue to move this thing along.
All right, so I looked at the Brazil game the other night, and I'm thinking to myself, before we even get into it, I say to myself, you know what? There is no way this isn't going to be a success, because the experience and the opportunity to play against that jersey, those players, there will be takeaway no matter what. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, 100% fair, and that's exactly how we as a staff and as a group have looked at it and talked about it. And there have been great takeaways from that game that I am certain will sort of apply as we move along, no doubt.
Now, when you get guys back from Europe and from differing teams, and, you know, a Tim Weah comes back, and you haven't seen him for a while, do you notice a young player like that maturing? Do you see something subtle in his game that you go, wow, okay, I see that environment over there is helping to lift him up and gain him experience and add some things to his game? Do you see that tangibly?
I do see it with many of the players. You know, with some, it may take a few more get-togethers to really kind of see it more clearly. But each and every guy, and you mentioned Tim, comes back where their starting point is kind of where they left off, or a little ahead rather than behind. And that's really encouraging. And I see it with all of the European guys, especially now where they've finished a preseason and they're in good physical form, and most of them are playing. And so that to me is showing, you know, some signs of maturing and just improving on the little things where we left off.
Dave Sarakin, U.S. Men's National Team Manager, ahead of the U.S. and Mexico tomorrow night, Tuesday night. There will be some emotion behind that game. We'll get to that in a second. But what would some of those subtleties be when you see these kids come back from these other environments?
I think in some ways it's just a continual managing the details, the small details that maybe they had overlooked in their past experiences, whether it's, you know, angling your body or catching a ball a certain way, or being aware of things that maybe have been exposed in your training and your environment. Little things like that on a technical sense. And then obviously as professionals, you see how they manage themselves and what they do in their off hours and how they get in the weight room and continue a program maybe that they've started. So all of that is pieced together in a way where there's just more attention to the details that can make them a better pro in many ways.
I don't think any question, no matter what happens in the future, what you're doing with these guys right now is very, very important. I mean, we'll look back, I would believe, upon this time period as a platform for gaining experience and opportunity for players and seeing them blossom, which is, I think, the real exciting things for U.S. soccer fans. But if you look at this group in its entirety, do they understand, Dave, that they are potentially the future here and they could be a part of a couple of cycles here in World Cups? Do they get that?
Well, I do think they get that. I do think they feel this is an opportunity to now put their imprint on this next cycle. What they don't know and can't know is that it's not a given that just because they're in now that they'll be in the next time and the next time. And that's kind of the messaging, that it's a real privilege to have these opportunities and to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's part of the teaching and experience that I've tried to express to these guys, is that you're here now. You can be here for the future. They believe it. And that's one of the things with this group. They're a very confident group. And I do think most of them do recognize the fact that they are a group that has a real chance to be the future in the next World Cup cycle. And yet now it's just making sure that they don't lose, or these opportunities aren't lost.
Dave Sarakin, U.S. soccer manager, joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Go back to the Brazil game. I heard you in the press conference just talking about the possession side of the game against Brazil. Maybe you could just expand on that a little bit.
Well, you know, playing a team like Brazil, forget for a moment that each and every player has a mastery of the ball. But what we can't forget is they've been a team for several years. I mean, this is the group they brought is the group that played in the World Cup, essentially, with the exception of a couple guys. And so, you know, the way that they made it hard on us when they had the ball, and even when they didn't have the ball in terms of their spacing, made it difficult for us to put the game on our terms in terms of possession and keeping the ball. Although, having looked at the edits in the game, there were many moments in the game when we did have possession. The challenge for us was, were we going forward? Were we getting balls in good spots that challenged them to now pull them out of spots where we could take advantage of numbers and such in the final third, which we didn't do a good job of, and that's a credit to them as well. So I think that was kind of the point I was making, that with our group now, each game's going to present those moments. Against Mexico, we expect a good team again, but maybe we can find better ways to be in good spots in the final third to create a little more chances. Possession's nice, but it doesn't help you if you're not going forward.
Dave, if we look at past national teams, and maybe we'll use the last the last team with the Dempseys and the Michaels and the Josies, and we know some of those guys are not out of this, obviously, but if we look at that team as a measuring stick, and maybe the last two World Cups, what's the one platforming thing that U.S. soccer and its national team would like to achieve? What maybe one general area of the game that we would want to platform off as we try to grow?
Well, there's probably more than one. I mean, you've asked me one, but I think in referencing past teams, I do think that all the teams that represent the U.S. men's national team have certain common denominators, a competitive spirit, an aggressive way of trying to play, playing with no fear. These are just a few bullet points that I've tried to continue to impart on this young group. Clearly from a technical sense, we're hoping that, you know, this next generation is getting enough confidence with the ball that now we can sort of, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, you know, put the game more on our terms. And I think we're seeing that now a little bit more with the exposure that a lot of these younger players who are now playing in good environments, whether it's domestically or overseas, are providing. So, you know, the platform is to continue to challenge yourself individually by being in the best environment you can be, which now will help us as a collective.
Dave, I heard an interview with Kellen Acosta. I think he got 30 minutes in the Brazil game, and he said, we respected Brazil too much. Did you get that feeling from your squad?
I did, and we talked about that. I do think there is an element of physicality that's needed in all games, and I think there was a cautious approach with Brazil from a standpoint that I think our guys felt if they were overly aggressive, they'd get punished. Not by the referee punished, but in terms of correct. Brazil picking them apart. And I think there was a little bit too much time and space allowed for them to sort of dictate the game. And I think we addressed that and talked that through. And I think that was the sentiment of the group as well.
Dave Sarakin joining us here tonight. You know, I look at the younger players now that you're working with, and we see this around the world. Is it a different challenge now coaching the younger player? Because you've had this expansive coaching and playing career that spanned all kinds of different things from the Chicago Fire to national teams, the World Cups, you name it. You've pretty much done it all. Are there different challenges? And do you as a manager now, knowing the young person now, do you have to change?
Great question. There are different challenges. Every generation presents, in my mind, different challenges. You know, with this young group, there's a lot of noise out there, whether it's social media noise, whether it's their agents, whether it's their family, whether it's their, you know, teammates. There's just a lot of information out there that can cloud an athlete and a young player. They're exposed to, you know, a lot of journalism and social media, as I said, and I think they can lose sight of the prize and lose sight of what the real task at hand is. You know, I have a son and daughter who showed me how to use Snapchat and Instagram, and you know, I'm up on all the hip hop stuff. But I think it's nice that they can relate to me on some levels, but I'm not trying to be their age. And I think it's my job as an experienced coach now to make sure that they get the balance right so that they don't get too cloudy in some of their own heads, that they understand really the biggest challenge that they're going to have as professionals. And so it's a back and forth. And I would say that we all have to adapt as you get a little bit older and with a newer generation of guys. But I love that challenge. I think it's part of the joy of doing what I do.
So I assume you're not listening to a lot of The Weeknd or Chance the Rapper.
Maybe. No, you're wrong, Glenn. You're
see
wrong.
That? I knew you were going to pull one off on me.
I listen to Chance the Rapper and Kendrick Lamar quite often.
There you go. See?
There I go. Am I hip or what?
You are, and we're going to play some of that music before when we go to break in your honor. Last one before we let you go. Let's shift gears here to the Mexico match, because this obviously takes on a little bit of a different dynamic than the Brazil game in a different way because of the whole rivalry, obviously September 11th. So I would assume this is a little bit of a different game and maybe a different approach than the Brazil game.
Yes, it is different on a lot of levels. The opponent's going to be different. We're going to face a younger Mexican side who won't have the experience of a Brazil or maybe the quality, but we're going to be a young American side. But it is a CONCACAF rival, a heated rivalry for many years. I've been a part of it for a lot of years, these younger guys haven't been a part of it very, very often, if at all, but I think there's enough history out there. These young men understand the significance of playing Mexico. In terms of the date being 9/11, we had an outing when we were in New York at the memorial, the 9/11 memorial, was extremely powerful, and I think it was really important for our young guys who, some of which weren't born, some were one, some were three, some were 6 years old, to really understand the sacrifice that went on that date. And I think playing Mexico on the date, I don't think there's a whole lot of motivating I need to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. The other part of that I would just ask you is, you know, do you feel, because we are in sort of an assessment period, you're giving experience and opportunity to these guys, but obviously winning would be a big deal.
Winning would be a big deal, and it's funny you mention that because, you know, in most of these friendlies, we talk about what we want to accomplish with an end result, we knew going against Brazil, we didn't really talk about we have to beat Brazil. We wanted to beat Brazil. That's certainly the hallmark of any time of a game. When you play a game, you want to win. This game on Tuesday, we want to win this game. We want to win it for a number of reasons. We always want to win, but this game is significant in terms of the rivalry, the fact you can measure up to a CONCACAF team that we're going to be seeing quite a bit down the line, and for all the other reasons that you can imagine.
Dave, listen, you're a gem. Thank you very much for coming on. This is a really enlightening interview for my listeners, and to get it the night before the game, I want you to know that we really appreciate you taking the time out to do it, because I do know you have a pretty full plate ahead of tomorrow's game. We wish you the best of luck tomorrow night.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Thanks for having me, and I'm sure we'll speak again down the road.
Sounds great. Thank you, Dave. That's
Take
Dave.
Care.
Dave Sarakin, the manager of the U.S. men's national team, again tomorrow night in Nashville, taking on Mexico. And we appreciate Dave being on. We'll take a break. It's a Bud Light break. FN Kitchen and Bar, located one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get in there and enjoy the expertly crafted cocktails and amazing burgers, chicken sandwiches, ribs, and Southern comfort food. FM Kitchen and Bar, an amazing patio, 13 monitors for all your sports watching, including the Houston Dynamo. Catch the Dynamo, the Premier League, and more at FM Kitchen and Bar. Say hello to Ryan. Tranquility Home Systems, my friend Jesse. This is the guy you need to talk to. THS will come out. They'll get you a free quote. They'll get you on your way to home theater installation. Look, you love sports. Why deny yourself that home theater setup? You get the latest 4K video technology. He'll come in. He'll give you a quote. And you know what? THS will give you their 20 years of experience as well. Here's his personal phone number, Jesse, 281-506-7822. 281-506-7822. Go to his website, www.ths3inc.com. Jesse, 281-506-7822 for the best in home theater setup. We're going to take a Bud Light break. We're going to take a Daspit Law Firm break. Coming up next, we're going to wrap the show up. Ross Smith, the color analyst, former professional soccer player with the Portland Timbers now. He will come on the program and set up the Dynamo Portland Timbers. By the way, I got a pair of tickets right now to Dynamo San Jose. Caller number 6. Caller number 6, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets. Dynamo, San Jose.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here. We're going to end it up in big style here tonight. Before we do, though, quick word here from my friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years, have leased and owned from Advantage BMW numerous times. The drive of a BMW, well, you know what it's like. It is the ultimate driving machine. Got a 5 Series, absolutely love it. But the other thing I really love down there at Advantage BMW is the customer service. It is second to none. Advantage BMW has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They absolutely love soccer and football. All right, with that, we bring in the color analyst, former professional soccer player for the Portland Timbers, Ross Smith, joining us now. Ross, thank you very much for coming on the show, as always.
Glenn, as always, enjoy coming on, chatting with you. You put on such a great show with your guests, so thanks for having me on.
Well, I have great guests like you, Ross, so this is what we all know makes the show here. It's definitely not the host. So let's talk some Dynamo Portland. You're coming to town with the broadcast for the Timbers. Timbers right now, 5th in the West. Just kind of talk about this first-year transition under Giovanni Savarese.
It's been a learning experience for Giovanni Savarese and for the players, and I think for the city as well. Just being used to life under Caleb Porter, and new manager coming in, new way with the media, new way with the players on the training ground. And it's been quite the learning curve to start off the the season, first two games, they weren't good against LA Galaxy away, Red Bulls away. It was always going to be tough, first five games on the road. And I think there was a bit of a worry around the city. What's this about? Weren't really seeing an identity in the first couple of games. You were worried about the buy-in from the experienced players of the Timbers. I divided the Timbers between the known Timbers and the new Timbers. And the new Timbers had to buy in right away, as you can imagine. Glenn, they're coming in, they want to impress a new manager, they want to impress a new city. Whereas the known Timbers had been a winning team, had experienced players from a Ridgewell, Shaw, or Valeri under another manager where things worked well. And so the new manager, Giovanni Savarese, they had to get the buy-in from them and had to mesh in between the new and the known Timbers. And I think what you saw after the second game is the biggest difference. The Red Bulls game, he was on broadcast, Glenn, and he was fired up. And we've come on and, you know, your thoughts of the game. And he more or less just wanted to get it out there. Under my watch, work ethic will be number one. And players won't play for me if we don't see it again. It wasn't a good match. And so he more or less just took the headphones off and threw them down. And to that, from that day forwards, what you've had from Giovanni Savarese is guys put it in. And so what stands out is guys put it in, the work ethic, the formation from him tactically. He's willing to tinker. We knew coming in that he likes to switch things up. But the main thing for me, Glenn, is he's not afraid to make a big decision.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He has not shied away from big decisions. This is a different team, and we're talking to Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers. In one way, it got very different. Fernando Adi was really the tip of the spear for this team, a big target-type striker. Talk to me a little bit about the Samuel Armenteros sort of inheriting that role. We know Adi has moved on, and how maybe the team is different with a striker like Armenteros.
Yeah, I think he's the new wave of striker coming into the league, where Adi was a great servant to the club and obviously a terrific player. But Armenteros just so dynamic with what he has to offer. His hold-up play is good. He can run in the channels. He can combine well with the likes of Valeri and with Blanco. He's got a trick up his sleeve all the time. And I said it's like he's got a circus going on in his mind, and he's able to perform whatever's coming up in his mind as well. And that for him, the being unpredictable, I think is the biggest thing, that he can just hurt you in so many different ways. And so you can understand when the Timbers thought, right, who are we going with? This new wave-type striker coming in, probably the most dynamic striker we've ever had at the club. Let's go with him. And Fernando Adi, I think it was good timing for him wanting to move on personally for his career and for the Timbers to get good value off him at that time. But the big thing for me, Glenn, is Armenteros, he was doing it up until Adi left. Once Adi left, Samuel Armenteros, it's just been flashes for him. So the big question was, well, who's going to push Armenteros now? Who's going to be the next striker come along? And what we saw at the weekend, Jeremy Obobese getting his chance, his first start in regular season this year. And he just wondered, because we haven't seen a lot from him on the training ground. He's been put to T2 for quite a large part of the season. Hasn't really done it in T2. But he was given his opportunity, and he was terrific. I thought, for me, he was the man of the match. He had two goals. One of them was disallowed. I thought it could have stood. It should have stood. It was ruled for offside. But he was putting himself around goal, was sniffing around, but his combination play with Valeri and with Blanco was terrific. And so now, coming into the Houston game, I think the manager, when I talk about big decisions, he's got a big decision to make. Jeremy Obobese and Team of the Week as well.
Yeah.
Does he stick with them, or does he go back to Samuel Armenteros?
Yeah, that's a great one going into the game for Dynamo fans also to focus in on. You know, it's interesting you say that, because I think that's an absolute problem here in Houston, because the Dynamo don't have any like-for-like replacements or subs really pushing Albert Elise and Romel Kyoto, who both have really dropped in production over the course of the last 10 games, which is incidentally coincided with a slide where, you know, they've gone winless over 10 games. I absolutely think the competitive angle that you brought up there with Adi and Armenteros does play into it. And in the case of the Dynamo, they have to change tactically when one of those guys are off the field. I don't think there's any question. So that one's a real interesting one, obviously, to keep an eye on. Diego Valeri, okay, he's the fulcrum. He's still 10 goals. You know, he's the leading shot taker for the team. Everything flows through him. He is the face of the team in the community. Has he shown any signs of slowing down?
You know, for me, Glenn, he hasn't. And I know people are coming out to say it. He's slowing down. And a little bit. Maybe he's just lost a little touch. For me, it's very similar to last year, and MVP of the league. He had a terrific season, but what he did was he showed up once or twice in a match for a big moment, and he took advantage of it, where you wouldn't really use the term, and I know you understand the term, when a player is bossing the game, when they're just unplayable at times. It was never that with Fellaini last year when he was on this marvelous run of consecutive games, 9 games scoring in a row. He wasn't bossing games, but what he was doing was a chance fell to him. He was taking it. And now chances are falling to him this year, but he just hasn't been able to, for whatever reason, not the right contact on the ball. It's blocked by a defender. It's coming off the post. For whatever reason, it's just not quite coming off. And so I look at him in his legs, and I thought the last game was actually the freshest that we've seen of him in the last match for the Timbers. And so he's still got the pep in the step. He's still got the quickness of the mind, of course. But I just think the moments haven't quite come from him. And I also think the emergence of Sebastian Blanco. Valeri, it's not as though he's the number 10 right now. He has to share that number 10 position with Sebastian Blanco. And so I put it down as it's like two brothers having to share a toy. They're having to share the space right now and figure things out. And for me, just the last 2 games they've played together, Toronto FC and then the last match together, was when they started to really figure things out of where that space is and who gets on the ball when and what happens if Blanco's on the ball where Valeri goes. So for me, they're not quite hitting the mark when the chances fall to them, but also having to share the responsibility with Blanco, I think, has made a difference.
How do they play on the road? How do you expect them to come into Houston here? You know, there will be some humidity, although it's not that bad today here. Obviously, the sun is not out. There's a lot of rain expected on the weekend. What has been the approach of Giovanni Savarese on the road for the most part? Has it been consistent?
Yeah, tough to beat. Tough to beat. He's been going with his Christmas tree, but he's also adapted from there. But he's got the three players who sit in front of whether it's a four or a back five. So they make it very difficult to break down and go through the middle of them. Yeah. And so that has become the staple of Gio, is we're going to be tough to beat first and foremost. And then going on the road, I think you would see them as they get into the game. Then they're looking to spring on the counter. I think the biggest part of the game that they're looking to adapt and work on is breaking teams down when they sit in. But I would expect with Houston and how things go, and with the attacking force that they have, even though it's been somewhat anemic of late, just to go at the Timbers. And so for the game plan, I wonder if the Timbers thinking, right, let's absorb. We're happy absorbing. They're patient enough. They're confident enough with their structure. And then they're confident enough with what they have going forward with the guys I mentioned, like Valeri, Blanco. But also you're seeing Diego Char in a different role now this year. He's playing on the side of one of those midfield threes. And he still has defensive responsibility, but we're seeing an attacking side to him that I'm a bit surprised that he's creating. He's got the burst of energy, but when he's getting into certain areas, he's causing problems, which credit to him, because for his whole Timbers career, it's more or less been defense first. When you transition, go quickly, but then get yourself back. Whereas now he's staying up into the attack and he's part of the movement. He's part of the buildup. And so I think you have more confidence then with a Diego Chara like that, if you're going to sit in, you still have something going forward and you can surprise teams.
Interestingly enough, you say that. That has been the Dynamo's habitual problem over 2 years as well, is breaking down compact teams.
Not
able to get that wide game going with some space with Kyoto and Elise, which really is the definition of the Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. I'm not sure what plan B is really for the Dynamo when those two guys aren't in the lineup. I want to go back to Chara, though. Is he a little bit more attack-oriented because a manager has demanded that at him or has asked that out of him?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think the role, it lends itself to him having to be more attack-minded. And what we were seeing before was, if it was Armenteros, Blanco, Valeri, right, you three go and attack, the rest of us go and defend. Now they're realizing that you need to be sending more numbers. Andy Polo, I think we're slowly seeing him up his game, whereas you just wondered what Andy Polo's about. But you've missed a guy like Polo joining in, and Chara back to him in his role. The Timbers need somebody like him bursting out of midfield to join in, just to give defenses something else to worry about. And for Chara, I mean, the attitude of the guy, and I go back to your first question to me and Giovanni Savarese having to get the buy-in from players. I think he's had to get the buy-in from Chara in that position, where he's used to be middle of the pitch and he can just go wherever he wants to hunt down the ball. Well, now he's sort of on one side of the pitch, essentially. And so you wonder, okay, does that lack then an influence for him breaking things up? But I think where he's lacked in not doing as much defensively as what we've seen before, he's given more on the attacking side of it. And just the last two games, Toronto FC, I go back to that match last Wednesday, and I said, this is my biggest question mark, because we haven't seen a lot from Chara going forward. Can he figure out the runs, the spacing, and then what he does on the ball when he gets on it? And Toronto FC, I thought he answered that question. It was yes. And the last match again, he answered that question. It was yes. But can he continue that forward game in, game out to offer the Timbers something? But he is growing in confidence in that role and giving you more on the attacking end.
And by the way, Ross just mentioned Andy Polo was at the World Cup with Peru and also helped them get to the World Cup. He's only 23 years of age, so you can see a Peruvian World Cup star here on Saturday. Ross, as always, thank you very much for enlightening us. We're looking forward to the Portland Timbers' arrival here in Houston and a good game on Saturday. Travel safe, and thank you, as always, for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you this weekend when we get out there.
Done deal. That is Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers, former professional soccer player. Does a wonderful job breaking games down, as you can tell from that interview. Just winding it up here in the second hour, a word here for our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual. You call 713-322-HURT. Now, whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler, they've got you covered 24/7, nights and weekends. Look, nobody wants to get in an accident, but you got to have representation. You got to have good representation. And why not get representation from somebody who loves the sport of soccer? DaspitLaw.com. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, second hour presenting sponsor. That'll do it tonight. For Michael Hernandez, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis on behalf of the firm. We thank everybody for calling in and listening here tonight. Also, don't forget, podcastarena.com, iTunes for the podcast. Good night, everyone.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.